Hysteria is brought to you by OneSkin. January is all about fresh starts, and it's a great time to swap out the skincare products weighing your skin down in favor of a regimen scientifically proven to transform your skin at the cellular level, something today's sponsor, OneSkin, knows all about.
Their products are powered by OS1, a proprietary peptide the four founders, who are all skin longevity scientists, developed after testing 900 other peptides. And it's scientifically proven to switch off the aging, dysfunctional cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. Not only that, OneSkin's products are packed with nourishing ingredients to naturally boost collagen, reduce inflammation, and protect skin from environmental stressors while being free of unnecessary irritants like sulfates and fragrance. Ready to detox your routine, improve your skin health, and look your best? Head over to oneskin.co and use code HYSTERIA at checkout for an exclusive 15% off your first purchase. Make 2025 the year you invest in habits that keep you and your skin healthier at the cellular level.
One thing I really like about OneSkin, the no fragrance thing. I'm over fragrances in my skincare products.
I can't
do it anymore. I find myself very sensitive to them, and it becomes like the thing I'm tasting all day.
Yes.
Like, I just want something I can put on my face.
Yeah.
That works.
And be done.
And be done.
And not feel it and smell it all day long.
I don't want to smell it all day. I don't want to smell myself all day.
I don't want to smell it. I don't want to feel it.
No, no. I don't want to smell it. I don't want to feel it. I just want it to work. OneSkin was founded in 2016 by an all-woman team of scientists with PhDs in skin regeneration, stem cell biology, immunology, and bioinformatics. Those sound like classes that I would not be able to pass in college. Founded and led by an all-woman team of skin longevity scientists, OneSkin is redefining the aging process with their proprietary OS1 peptide, the first ingredient proven to help skin look, feel, and behave like its younger self. Get 15% off with code HYSTERIA at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code HYSTERIA. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Invest in the health and longevity of your skin with OneSkin. Your future self will thank you. Hello and welcome to Hysteria. I'm Erin Ryan.
And I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco.
Alyssa, gross question.
Yes.
But I have a pretty clear idea, and I think you probably do too. How do you think Pete Hegseth smells?
How does Pete Hegseth smell? Erin, I'm going to go with day-old Marlboro Red Smoke and Uber air freshener.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, I can see that. To me, do you know the smell of a man who is sweating after when he's hungover? You know,
yes.
This smells like, it's like the tray of a bar. It's like oxidizing alcohol being sweated out.
Oh, yes, that is how he smells.
Mixed with like too much cologne and like a corny cologne, like Cool Water or something.
Cool, oh my God, Cool Water.
And maybe I have like a, he smells like the sort of guy that like I would have a bad encounter with at a party in college.
Mm-hmm.
I would not hire him to be my personal assistant. I am a minor podcaster and I would not trust him to like keep track of my appointments.
You wouldn't hire someone who, when asked in his Senate confirmation hearing, if he started drinking again, would he step down and couldn't answer the question?
No.
Kind of a layup, if you ask me.
No, I would not. Today, we dive into the Senate confirmation hearings for the real-world cast that Donald Trump has decided should run the country. We also have our dear friend Michaela Watkins here to talk about how the Los Angeles community is rallying after the devastating fires this week and whose opinions matter to us now and whose simply do not. And we have a cathartic Sani Petty. We've got Heidi Montag. We've got Spencer Pratt. I wish they were here with us. We're talking about them. I don't want to oversell it. We're talking about Heidi and Spencer.
We're talking because they deserve to be talked about, frankly.
They deserve to be talked about and streamed. And there's also more coming up, so stick around. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people who want whatever the opposite of masculine energy is.
Yeah. I want no masculine energy.
I think that masculine energy, you've done enough. Okay?
Yeah, you're good. Sit down. Take a sabbatical.
You've done enough. Go ahead and Ugh, I'm looking at myself in this camera because of course I am, because I'm on camera and that's what you do when you're on camera and mm-hmm. on a computer. I feel like I look like I haven't been going outside very much because of, you know, the problems.
Yeah, fires, ash.
And I have gotten instantly so pale. And I'm wearing lipstick to like overcompensate for it, but I think the effect is I look like Robert Blake in Lost Highway.
I don't think that's true at all. You're a little bit more like longer hair, but Winona Ryder in Reality Bites.
That's so nice of you. I feel like part of maturing is realizing that she should have picked Ben Stiller.
Look,
or neither.
You know,
or
you neither. You can't date the guy who thinks the establishment owes him a candy bar.
No. And those guys, you know what? Those guys who were like the Reality Bites generation, well, overwhelmingly went on to vote for Donald Trump.
Yeah, not Ethan Hawke and Ben Stiller, though.
Not Ethan Hawke and Ben Stiller. Ben Stiller, surprisingly, one of the best directors of our time. Who would have thought? Who would
totally.
Have thought? Severance is coming back. This is not a
you love that show. That show's a little too weird for me, but I know you love it.
So, did you see the viral marketing for it?
I did.
They set up a glass cubicle in Grand Central Station and had real actors for the show inside of this giant glass box, just going about their day as though they were working in the office from Severance.
It was crazy.
So good. I don't know who came up with that idea. I'm imagining like the pitch meeting where someone was like, okay.
Listen, we're going to go to Moynihan Station with a big box.
When you're about to pitch things, do you ever like divide them by like probable but boring?
Yes.
Possible but interesting? Total swing for the fences?
Yes.
That would have been like a swing for the fences.
Total
pitch.
Swing for the fence and 10 out of 10 winner.
10 out of 10 winner. Absolutely. Okay. Now we've gotten done talking about everything fun that's happening. Now let's talk about, Alyssa, I got to say, with, you know, the fires of it all mm-hmm. and how scary and sad it is out here, I've been really actively tapped out when it comes.
No, as you should.
To news. I have decided to nope out.
Yep.
I don't have anything else to give mentally, emotionally. I will look in on something and be like, nope, nope, nope. And one of the nopes, one of the hard nopes this week mm-hmm. has been the Senate cabinet confirmation hearings that are currently in full swing. So Alyssa, I would love if you could fill me in on what's been going on.
Erin, one of the best parts of our bi-coastal relationship is that sometimes you don't have it in you and sometimes I don't have it in me. And this week, I was on deck. I listened to all the bad shit. Like, start to finish yesterday,
Bless
Erin.
Bless this mess, Alyssa. Senate cabinet
confirmation hearings, they're in full swing. As we're recording right now, Trump's pick for Attorney General Pam Bondi is in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee. I watched some of that this morning. And on Tuesday morning, former Fox News host and Trump's pick for Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth went before the committee for just over 4 hours. Let me tell you the thing about mentioning the part that it was just over 4 hours. Erin, it's going to surprise you to know that with Republicans in charge and Republican nominees, they only did one round of questioning. They only did one round of questioning.
It's first time that he's ever only had one round.
Ba-dum-bump. She previously, Mark Esper, you know, Chuck Hagel, people who were in the Obama administration, people have always had more than one round of questioning. And what was even funnier that I found out through listening to all of the questioning was that he hadn't met with any of the Democrats. So as much as people want to criticize whatever they're like, the Democrats were grandstanding and whatever. Look, some people I thought were grandstanding a little bit, but for the most part, they had to air all of their grievances in public. They didn't get to have a private conversation like he did with Joni Ernst about his concerns with his record. So some of our favorite senators took to the airwaves via the committee hearings yesterday. So just to remind everybody a little bit about Pete Hegseth, for anybody else who has not had the emotional bandwidth and has tapped out a little bit, old Pete has repeatedly said that women should not serve in combat roles in the military. Flag. Tammy Duckworth on the committee might not have said that, my brother.
Oh, awkward.
Awkward. She was no holds barred and one of the best lines of questioning where she was kind of, in essence, like, look me in the face and my missing limbs and tell me I didn't deserve to be there. You monster. He reportedly routinely showed up to work at Fox News smelling of booze and talking about his hangovers. That's who I want leading my military. Ran two separate veterans organizations into the ground financially under his leadership. I think it was the Koch brothers who fired him eventually.
The Koch brothers fired him?
Yep. One of the organizations was mostly funded by the Koch brothers, and everyone was like, where the money? Where the money go?
Oh, my God. I mean, Donald Trump himself has promised to pledge tens of millions of dollars to veterans organizations and then not done it. So I feel like him and Pete Hegseth kind of not cheating. Yeah, cheating veterans out of money is the kindred spirits, right?
They're like, listen, we got this.
Promising, over-promising and under-delivering for the veterans. That's kind of like the Trump way. Cool. Okay, what else?
Let's see. Okay, so he admitted on the record to being a serial cheater, which Tim Kaine brought up, and which that was the one line of questioning. I was like, I don't know, did we have to? But whatever, who cares at this point? And even his own mother wrote a letter that she was embarrassed of him.
Which she's disavowed.
She did. I think after he was like, get on board, because she changed her mind and got on Fox News real quick. I think it was maybe the day he was nominated, something like that. So anyway, Aaron, as you can imagine, he faced a series of questions about sexual assault allegations, drinking on the job, his financial mismanagement, as well as his fitness to take a position responsible for a nearly $1 trillion budget. You know, it was pretty much what you'd expect.
You know what? I think of him. He's just so evocative to me. Like, I'll peek in at him and I'll just be like, bleh! Like, visceral.
I couldn't agree more.
Disgust. He is, everything that he has been accused of does not seem like a surprise to me. Like, I'm like, oh yeah, he does look like a guy who, he looks like a guy who has shown up to work drunk. I also read that he was making $4.6 million a year as a Fox News weekend host.
Aaron, was that a year or was that in toto? Even if it was in toto, that is a lot of money.
I have to say, if I were a woman working at Fox News, working harder than him at Fox News, working more days than him at Fox News, and making less than him at Fox News, and I had some information about him, I don't know, might be a good time to deploy it. You're a journalist. You know how to launder information. Get information about him to somebody that it matters. I mean, I don't think the funny thing about this and everything you're telling me about these candidates. Also, I've got a point to make about Joni Ernst. I just need to put a pin in.
Yeah, we're going to get to her too.
In a second. I feel like a lot of people going into this second Trump administration has been like, now he knows how things work. Now he knows where like the levers are. Mm-hmm. Blah 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 blah. Maybe he won't be such a chaotic failure. And nothing about this transition that I've picked up or read against my will has shown that he's learned a fucking goddamn thing.
Well, what he's actually learned is that there are no fucking consequences for anything he does, basically.
Well, it's chaos, though. That's the thing. Like, it's going to be chaos again. He hasn't learned, like, there are people whose confirmation hearings have had to be delayed because of paperwork not being filed.
Right.
Paperwork.
Believe
you should
me.
Have somebody who could do that for you, working for you. Even if you don't, like, I wouldn't expect Donald Trump to be filling out the paperwork himself, but I would expect him to hire somebody capable of meeting a deadline, right? A person.
We would hope.
A person. And but he's learned nothing.
Here's what he's learned. He's learned how to use the system to his advantage, right? Like, if you think about he was so unprepared to be president the last time, and I'm not talking about fitness, I just mean like actually prepared, like didn't think he was going to win, that he had to rely on people to tell him who might be good fits for certain agencies, right? And so while his cabinet the first time around was, I mean, had some real fucking humdingers.
Michael Flynn,
he was in and out so fast, who can remember? But like, you know, General Mattis, totally acceptable Secretary of Defense. Like, and I think what was interesting in Hegseth's hearing was that Jack Reed, who's the Democrat, he's the senior ranking member, Hegseth will be the first nominee he's never voted for. And he said that at the top of the hearing, that he voted for Mattis, he voted for Esper, he's voted for everybody. He will not vote for her. And like for him, he's actually a very serious person. And so I think that I mean, matters to some people, but he's probably still going to get confirmed because, Aaron, we can get to Joni now. The Joni? Republican, Joni, yeah, not Jody, Joni. Team MAGA put a lot behind getting Hegseth over the finish line. They put a lot of money into a PAC. Steve Bannon's on the case. Everyone's like, we're going to scare the shit out of any senator who's thinking of voting against any of our nominees. And so here we have Pete Hegseth, Aaron, who's accused, who is sex pest, mm-hmm. and is going to run the Department of Defense. And Joni Ernst, who is a veteran, who is a victim of sexual assault. And
While serving.
And I think, Aaron, that, I don't think I know. On Tuesday night, she said that she would support his nomination. She'd vote for him.
I don't expect anything from these people. It is dangerous that we have somebody this stupid and unqualified and blackmailable running the Department of Defense. Mm-hmm. I feel like Republicans have a sort of like galaxy brain strategy about this where it's like, yeah, well, if we know all of the things that could be blackmailable and he doesn't care about them, then maybe he's blackmail proof. Like, he doesn't care if anybody knows about these things.
It's entirely possible. You know what else he did? This was the one funny part of the hearing. He shows up and he's trying to be like Mr. Family Man. And he has 7 kids and like forgot their names. Like he decided to name them all and then he got tripped up. He couldn't remember.
You make up a song, dude. Pete, you got to make up a song to remember your kids' names. Oh, my God.
I was like, you're not helping.
God, I feel like the cabinet is like so much hand-wringing has been done over DEI. But this cabinet feels like DEI for morons, like DEI for morons that go on TV.
A lot of unqualified people are getting a real chance here.
Yeah, they're getting a leg up. It's like, are you stupid? And have you been on Fox News before? Well, we've got a spot.
And they all
for
have.
You. Yeah.
Every single person nominated for the cabinet has been on Fox News or has been a contributor, been on as a regular guest. I mean, it's really, that was the one thing that was quite upsetting watching the hearing yesterday is that he's a TV personality. So mm-hmm. while I thought he was repellent, I think there are a lot of people who would have been like, he's quite telegenic and, you know, he had good, evasive answers. Like he did his prep work. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't recall, et cetera, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
et cetera. I just think that it's clear that Donald Trump has learned nothing. He has nominated these people for cabinet positions, like how somebody would take Ambien and watch the Home Shopping Network, and then a couple weeks later, they'd be like, I got a couple different kinds of juicers.
Yeah. What is these 3 therabodies I got?
Yeah, this is some sort of crystal powered anti-arthritis glove. All right, I guess that's what I ordered. Ordered it while on Ambien. I don't think this is going to end well, but I'm going to say this: don't have the emotional bandwidth to get that. I mean, sure, let's find out. I feel like part of him being nominated and pushed through, despite the fact that he's a sex pest, is because Republicans and MAGA Republicans specifically get a thrill out of thinking they're making the feminists mad or they're making like mm-hmm. Democrats mad. Mm-hmm. And there's a part of me that's like, all right, guys, find out.
To your point, one of my favorite lines was when Senator Gillibrand was coming at him about things he had said. And she's talking about like, you've said women shouldn't be in combat. You're saying mothers, you know, shouldn't be. She goes, what's wrong with a mother? What's wrong with a mom? And then she just looks at him and she goes, it's just so silly. And I was like, yes, that's it. It's just so silly.
It's just so silly.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely. So that's how I feel like that's going to be my thing. When I'm feeling triggered, I'm just going to go, it's so silly.
It's very silly. Speaking of ways that you punished yourself this week, Alyssa.
Oh, speaking of silly.
Facebook founder/Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg was recently on Joe Rogan's podcast. That's a cursed sentence right there. And my understanding is you listened to the entire interview.
Just about.
I read some headlines about the interview, but I would love to hear what you heard as you were listening to these two paragons of masculinity just jibber-jabber.
got to be honest. I find Mark Zuckerberg so unappealing, like in every way. Like just his, he is the most inauthentic person. Like I don't know if he believes in anything, but he started out the conversation. They were talking about, you know, Meta's fact-checking program going down the tubes and recalling the company's DEI initiatives. And it's just, Aaron, it's all such MAGA talking points at this point. And it's like, look, Mark, you can do one of two things. You can just be like a capitalist Silicon Valley billionaire. Please just go do that. But like trying to be liked and have friends, which feels like everything he keeps doing. Like first he was like, I don't know, maybe the Obama people will be my friends. And he's like, oh, I don't, maybe I can get the Biden people to be my friends. And now he's like, winner, winner, chicken dinner. I found someone who was ripe for the plucking. And after I listened to the podcast, just a quick detour, I saw or I heard on the news that it was confirmed that Mark Zuckerberg and Jeff Bezos have very prime seats at the inauguration and they will be attending.
Okay. Does this guy want Trump to hold up the TikTok ban or what?
Like what?
I think that he is being a complete capitalist.
I think he's unlikable.
He is super unlikable. And, you know, I reference this episode of television a lot, and producer Caroline is going to very much appreciate it. There's an episode of Freaks and Geeks where Sam shows up to school with a new hairstyle, wearing a jumpsuit that he is just completely not pulling off, and it is played for laughs. It is an extremely funny scene that captures the awkwardness of like being a teenager and trying on an identity that doesn't quite work, that you just can't do it.
Yep.
That is, every time Mark Zuckerberg comes out, I just picture Sam in slow motion walking down the school hallway with his like dumb little jumpsuit and his feathered hair, and everyone thinks he looks so dumb. But I think this, honestly, he is sucking up to Donald Trump because he believes that if Donald Trump, who has been sort of like waffling on whether or not he's going to uphold a TikTok ban that it looks like the Supreme Court is going to allow, he really believes, Zuckerberg believes, that if TikTok is banned in the U.S., then the people that use TikTok, the tens of millions of people that use it, are going to be driven back to Meta products.
Yep.
Here's the thing, Mark. We're not, because Meta products are fucking garbage. And people are not rushing to download Meta's products under the threat of TikTok going away in a couple days. They're downloading fucking a Russian state-operated TikTok dupe.
Really?
Yes. There's a Russian state-operated TikTok dupe that is available in the App Store, and people are downloading it rather than using Instagram Reels. They're like, I will hand my data to the Russians, you fucking assholes.
Well, Mark did that to himself.
He did that to himself. Make better products. Make something that people want to use. Like, instead of just trying to, like, bully and corral people into being forced to use something. Spoiler to devoted listeners of Hysteria, watchers of our YouTube channel, he's our forthcoming this fucking guy. He is somebody who had an idea at the right time and then had no more good ideas.
Right. And here is the interesting thing. So this whole 2 hour, however long this thing was, Odyssey. You know, I listened and I was interested in like hearing about his interactions with the Biden administration, all this, right? That's like 10 minutes. Then we get into the journey of a lifetime where he tries to impress Joe Rogan with like his physical MMA fighting stuff that he does, and how he takes something called thick neck to work out. And he talks about how, like, you know, starting the day with a fight, it's just like the best, and, you know, that's the best kind of tired. And he's like trying to so hard bro down. And he then does the thing which everyone's talked about with the masculine energy. And you know what my first thought was?
Uh-huh.
You got three daughters. Like, what if they listen to this? I mean, it's so embarrassing.
He's sucking up to Donald Trump, and it is extremely embarrassing. I cannot think of a more embarrassing dad than having Mark Zuckerberg as your dad.
No, and then then Rogan brings up how, you know, he brought Mark Zuckerberg added Dana White to the board of Facebook. And the way that Mark talks about it, he's like, oh yeah, Dana's so fucking cool. Actually, Dana is a bootstrap true, like what he did for UFC is actually an incredible story, and he really did build it like brick by brick. Mm-hmm. Mark, that's not the same thing, but he's like, you know, he's just like an entrepreneur, and I just, because I own the majority of shares, like I don't have to answer to a board, and so like I can just get people who just like have good ideas. I was like, shut up, dude. Because you literally, because Aaron, in the journey of the podcast, he goes from saying that, like, none of this is my fault, and I wasn't really over all the content moderation, like, that wasn't me. But then he goes on to say that he's, like, omnipotent and answers to no one. It's like, it kind of can't be both ways.
You know what? I gotta say, that meme, horrible, worst person you know, just made a good point. That meme came true this week.
How?
Because Andrew Tate had an opinion on the interview, and the quote that Andrew Tate had was, every single dude was a bitch.
That's
which, I'm sorry, credit where it's due, that is funny and true.
That is funny and true. And you know what, Aaron, because we are going to be talking about the fires with Michaela later, and literally, the worst part of what Elon has done to Twitter/X and what Mark Zuckerberg has done, let happen to Facebook and Instagram, is that during catastrophes, those were actually real places to go for real, actionable information. Mm-hmm. And they've ruined it. So, like, for me, it has no purpose at all whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I've been able to use Instagram just because friends of mine in LA are using it to share information, and organizations, you can follow organizations on Instagram, and they're really good about like updating and providing info. But like, yeah, X is fucking useless.
Useless.
Watch Duty, the app, is—
Yes, I've been reading all about it.
It is like, it has become my like North Star, everybody's North Star. It is like clear, succinct, great.
Did you read, if you haven't read this, you're going to love this, the guy who came up with or invented Watch Duty has been offered all this money for people to buy his website, his app. And he's like, no. He's like, you're going to ruin it. Like, yeah. He's like, I shouldn't have to do this, but I did it. And like, you're not. So I'm like, you know what? Look at that.
Yeah. We should give money to that guy. It's a great app. But yeah, Mark Zuckerberg is somebody who doesn't have any good ideas. And the only idea he has left is sucking up to somebody who can kill his competition, because he can't kill the competition by buying it, which is what he normally does, or by inventing a not as good product and paying a ton of people a ton of money to like drown out a competing product. He can't get rid of TikTok with his own money. And so what he's trying to do is suck up to somebody in power who can. And I gotta say, I'm gonna have to listen to that entire interview too. Because, you know, I got to write about this fucking guy. I got to say, it is kind of funny to just watch him not pull off makeover after makeover.
I mean, he's got a real look now. It's a real...
He looks like he murdered Mrs. Roper and is wearing her skin, but doesn't want to be caught for wearing Mrs. Roper's skin. So he just put on a black t-shirt over the skin of Mrs. Roper. Yeah.
If someone would Photoshop a muumuu over his outfit, I think we would see a real transformation into Mrs. Roper.
It's like watching him do interviews. It's like watching somebody in real time try to figure out the correct number of times to blink to seem normal. Like he's blinking too much, or he's not blinking enough, and he's got these big, glassy, unblinking eyes, and I don't trust him. Gotta say it.
Let me tell you something. If you listen to that podcast, you can truly fast forward through, like, I'm telling you, the first half hour is interesting-ish, but you don't have to listen to the entire recovery story of his surgeries that he had. I think he tore his Achilles or something like that, ACL. But the funny thing is, this is kind of like, and again, you don't have to listen for this part, but this was funny, is that Joe Rogan's like, did you do peptides? And Zuckerberg is like, yeah, I mean, no, you know, I follow the doctor's protocol. And Rogan's like, you can't do that. You can't do that. You got to do the peptides. And it's like Joe Rogan kept asking him these questions that clearly kind of a cooler, more in the know person would have been able to be conversant about. And he would be like, there was a lot of that throughout the whole podcast.
Oh, yeah. First of all, I got to listen. Every time I listen to a Rogan interview, I do it on double speed. It's funny. It's like listening to Alvin and the Chipmunks talk about bodybuilding. The second thing I was going to say is like by masculine energy in an office, does he mean men complaining about something that's way easier than childbirth?
Yes.
Because that seems like masculine.
I think that you just hit the nail on the head.
Oh, you got a knee operation, blah. I pushed two babies out of my fucking vagina.
Yes, you did.
But whatever. Whatever.
Yes, you did.
It's still, masculine energy, complaining about things that are not as hard as things that other people have to go through. Anyway. All right, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, Michaela Watkins joins us to talk about Los Angeles and where we all go from here.
Hysteria is brought to you by Viya. The holiday season messed with your routine? Looking to take charge of your life with full mental clarity this new year? Enhance your sober January and embrace CBD Awareness Month with Viya to experience the powerful benefits of hemp without the high. Trusted by over 500,000 happy customers, Viya is the Swiss Army knife of wellness. I agree with that. Dedicated to harnessing the natural benefits of cannabis to create high-quality wellness products, Viya's collection of THC-free products combines minor cannabinoids like CBD, CBG, and CBN with botanical supplements for targeted effects you can actually feel. Whether you're looking to improve your sleep, focus, or relief, Viya has something for you. Viya is also well-renowned for their award-winning THC and THC-free gummies and vapes, THCA flower, soothing topicals, and calming drops, all crafted with the highest quality hemp sourced from trusted independently owned American farms. And the best part? Viya legally ships to nearly all states in the U.S. in discreet packaging directly to your door with a worry-free guarantee. No medical card required. And I can vouch for that because they shipped it to me here in New York.
Amazing. So if you're 21 plus, treat yourself to 15% off. And if you're new to Viya, get a free gift of your choice with our exclusive code Hysteria at viahemp.com/hysteria. That's viahemp.com. /HYSTERIA.
And Erin, I've got to tell you, like I said, they sent it to me, and you know I'm a bit of a weed connoisseur. Mm-hmm. So I got the THC products, and they were very smooth. I'm like very particular because some things, especially anything I take during the day, can really give me anxiety. And this was not, because they had the CBG, the CBN in both of them, which is just like very good for your nervous system. And what can I say? I enjoyed it very much.
Unlock the power of nature with Viya's organic and vegan hemp extracts, perfect for relaxation and rejuvenation. Viya is the only lifestyle hemp brand. They use compounds found in hemp along with active plant extracts to create products, each with a specific effect in mind. Whether you want to get better sleep, ease anxiety, enhance your mood, or just get high, they have something for you.
If you're 21 or over, go to viya.co/hysteria and use the code hysteria to receive 15% off. And if you're new to Viya, get a free gift of your choice. That's viia.co/hysteria. Use code hysteria. After you purchase, they ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Again, viia.co/hysteria. Use code hysteria. This year, enhance your everyday with Viya.
You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast that vows to remain untriggered from now until we deem necessary. I'm untriggered as hell, Alyssa. How about you?
I'm still pretty triggered, Erin.
You know what we do? We're triggered quietly. We're triggered quietly.
I'm not tweeting about my being triggered.
Yes.
I just look in the mirror in my bathroom and say, it's really bad.
Look. There's always crying in the shower, screaming in a pillow. There are plenty of enclosed spaces. A jar that you can whisper it
shout
into.
It. Yeah, that's
yeah,
true.
And then screw the top back on, put it on the shelf. You want to have a triggered jar, just be triggered in there. Don't give them the satisfaction.
You're right.
We're not
that's
giving
good advice.
Them the satisfaction. We should start selling triggered jars to our our listeners.
And I could make jam in them.
Triggered jam. Eat your feelings.
That reminds me, I have some to send you.
Yes. Yes. Okay. I'm so excited. Now, let's get to our personal political conversation. The Eaton, Palisades, and Hearst fires in Los Angeles have burned a combined 40,000 plus acres of land at this point, displaced over 140,000 people, and have taken a death toll of more than two dozen. It's been one of the most destructive firestorms in history. Firestorms. That is hellish. That is a hellish name for a thing that seems like it should come from someone's imagination and not from the sky. But it was a firestorm. We're witnessing LA handle the damage in real time. And thankfully, to talk about this, which is like a heavy topic that has not very much positive to it, but we're going to talk about it anyway. We have actress and comedian Michaela Watkins, who has been on the ground in LA rallying for the community. Hey, Michaela, how you doing?
Hi. I just thank you for my introduction. I just want to be clear that I like on the ground rallying for LA is loftier than probably what I'm doing, which is I'm just doing what every single person in LA is doing right now, which is just trying to, in any way, shape, or form, help. And, you know, am I aiding the community? Probably not. I think I'm aiding myself, and I'm trying to be part of the community. So I just want to make sure I'm not, I just want to be clear that, like, I'm not in charge of anything. I'm really just going and collaborating with other people who are also trying to do something so that we feel a little better about this horrible situation and feel like we're doing something, because it's so unfathomable how much needs to actually get done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, don't downplay it, though. Everybody here is doing something, it feels like, but also... Yeah. It has felt like a time when a city that has a reputation of kind of being disconnected and disparate communities has really felt like a place where everyone is standing up for each other.
Yeah.
The amount of community that I've seen, just like impromptu drives of supplies that have popped up. There was like a TikToker who somehow turned the Rose Bowl into this like giant supply drop, and it got so big that they had to move it twice. I chased the supply drop around to try to get to it.
It was Santa Anita Racetrack. They had to add on to it, and I mean, that's the thing. It's like this groundswell of support. LA really botched it during the pandemic. You know, I really thought LA was going to step up during the pandemic and help each other. But we kind of screwed the pooch on that, and everybody just went inwards and had panic attacks. But right now, I think because even though we're wearing masks, as everybody should, and I hope anybody who's in LA listening to this, like, it's really no joke. Don't look at your air quality meters. You have to understand that there's particulate in the air that is you're breathing in somebody's refrigerator, their asbestos, their Dodge Caravan.
I heard someone liken it, say, this isn't a forest, this is not smoke from a forest fire, it's more like 9/11.
Exactly. And I know a lot of people who say, like, I don't know anybody who lived below 27th Street and didn't have major medical situations later in life. So that's how people need to think about it. And I'm outside, you know, because I still have to go to work, and I'm in my N95, and I know some other people are, but the majority of the people are not wearing masks because it's confusing. The skies are clear, and they're saying, oh no, it says it's to 22. It's in the green. It's not in the green. This is like 1/50th of a width of your one piece of hair are like undetectable to the eye is what is going and embedding into your sinuses and your lungs. So really, 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 like, cool it on the leaf blowers and wear N95 masks. But that said, back to like what you were saying about all the crowdsourcing of help that's happening out there. That's exactly what it is. It's like we're a town of So many people. I mean, just it's like what we are is a town on steroids. So whatever you get in a town, it's like on steroids. A town will have a rich doctor, and a town will have a store clerk, and a town will have a taxi driver. And we're like that. But it's just like some of the richest, some of the poor, or some of the poorest, and everything, and it runs the entire gamut in between. And what I want to say about that is that we have actors who have and musicians and writers and artists who have like very creative ideas, and we have a lot of directors. And this is in my world. This is like in my little bubble, right? And people who know how to put things into action, creative ideas into action. Like we're a whole town built on that. So right now, I feel like what makes Hollywood and this town and draws people to it so wonderful is actually finally being able to be put into action, because even though we're wearing masks, we could still talk and hug each other and look at each other. And so we can still get together and actually do things. So if somebody, like in the case this week, one case, Valerie, who's a chocolatier, had the idea, well, I know so many people in the restaurant business, they can all come together, we can get some food, we can get all kinds of donations. I know so many people. Word of mouth spread, got all these donations for everything from clothes to, like, you know, makeup and toilet paper and Kotex and all kinds of things. And made, she's like, I have a parking lot, I have a place to stage it. So then everybody else knew how to either put it into action or how to show up like me and say, what can I do? Tell me what to do. I'm an actor. Tell me where to stand and what to say. Mm-hmm. And also, we're a town full of empaths. So every single person can feel and experience what is happening. And we all feel like crap because we're all scared. Obviously, we see what happens to somebody. We know we could be next. I just feel like we're all like hugging our houses as we leave, being like, I love you. If the last time I see you, I just want you to know I love you.
Uh-huh. Well, Alyssa, you brought to my attention some interesting on the ground stuff that's happening in LA that has made such a splash that it's like gone national. Like you were reading about a teenager?
A teenager, Avery, who is in eighth grade and decided. And the thing is, her philosophy, she could be a FEMA director someday, because she was like, all the girls who are in high school, who don't have school anymore, who lost everything, they're going to get from different pickup points, right? They'll be able to get underwear and maybe some clothes. But she wanted to do, which is giving people what they need, right? She wanted to give them what they would want. And so she did makeup, she did nail polish, she did skin cleanser, she did, you know, cute clothes. She got, I never know if you say joie or joy, the clothing brand, but it's J-O-I-E. Mm-hmm. She got them to donate all of these like cute outfits for people. And it's like such an incredible thing what people are doing, because the thing I learned from Craig Fugate, who is our FEMA director and from Florida, was that when you give people what they need, yes, they are grateful, but they still see themselves as victims. And when you can give them what they want, they become mentally, they become survivors, right? That it's like a great way to sort of like shift people into survivor mode. And so I couldn't believe it. And then this other group, Afropunk, has raised $10 million for over 500 families. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like,
yeah, I mean, that's what I guess that's what I mean when I say empath, is people are thinking, what could somebody, what would I want in this situation? Mm-hmm. And I mean, I've had to learn sort of in a clunky way at first that, like when you say, oh, you're out in the community, it's like, I feel like I'm giving colonoscopies. Like this is not, nobody's happy to see you. Nobody who's displaced or lost everything wants to go stare at a table and be like, can I have this toothpaste? No, I realized that when this young woman showed up at one point and she just didn't know what to do. This is so not, she's not used to walking up and asking if she can have the basic necessities for free from someone. Mm-hmm. And she didn't know how to, I just said, first of all, do you want a hug? I mean, and she kind of was like, maybe she didn't, but she was like, I think so. And so we hugged and we cried. And I was like, look, this is so demoralizing for you right now. I get that. Like, go get something to eat. There's some really delicious food over there. I just had some. Like, because that was the thing. Valerie, like, she didn't get food. She didn't, like, throw a bunch of granola bars at people. She got, like, food. I mean, really, like, little, like, merchants, the place where you want to go eat if you have the day off. And I said, go get something to eat. I'm going to put together a bag for you. And then the whole thing just pivoted into, let's find out what families need, what they need, and we're just going to start making things and making deliveries. We cannot ask people who've lost everything to come here on top of it and pick out, like, you know, it's very traumatizing to sit there and be like, pick a toy, you know. It's like, right. Well, my kid has a stuffy that he's going to, he's like Linus without his blanket. Like, he's so bereft to not have this one stuffy. So on that note, a lot of mom groups have started getting together and saying, okay, like, they get it. And so they have these match things where it's like, what's the need and what's the match? We're going to match you with somebody who has it. Mm-hmm. And that has been very, very, very successful.
But also, Michaela, to your point about the stuffies, so I saw stories about that where kids, like, a man told a story on the news about how when he was driving away from his house, his son was like, did you remember Bunny? And he'd forgotten it. And so anyway, there's a woman on Instagram who is making, if you send her a picture, she will recreate whatever your child lost, which is like, what a way to help somebody.
Oh my God, and, like, you have to post that.
I'll find it again. When I think about like what you've been seeing, it is like, you see people on social media and they're like, well, you know, and people are posting about LA and they're like, what about North Carolina? What about this? Let me tell you something. I have personally been on the scene of almost every kind of natural disaster you can imagine. Tornadoes, hurricanes, wildfires. The immediacy with which wildfires happen is just incomparable to almost anything other than really a tornado, right? Like, if a hurricane's coming, you at least have a little warning. You at least have time to, like, make a decision. You can grab the things that you know you need. You can make a plan. You can go home and get your dogs and cats and care of them. But, like, the trauma that people have suffered.
Even people who have that one standing house in a sea of houses that have been destroyed, they can't get into it for a year and a half.
Right.
Because it is so toxic.
Yeah. Well, and also there's police. Look, whatever. I'm mad at the police right now, but whatever. There's just like police guarding the perimeters of these communities, making sure nobody's looting the rubble, which is like, I wish whatever money is going to pay their overtime was going to pay more firefighters, because it feels like one is much more valuable to us than the other. But they can't go back because they're also like they're doing insurance claims adjusting. People have to go property to property to assess like what was lost, and they have to clean up the rubble because it's toxic everywhere. It's like, it's crazy. And I also want to say, I've seen a lot of stuff on social media about like Western North Carolina. I just want everyone who's listening to add this grain of salt to what you're taking in. Russian propaganda. Russian propaganda. Russian propaganda looks for little cracks that they can burrow into and irritate. Mm-hmm. And so I think that this is like an obvious thing that's been irritated by Russian propaganda. This is based on nothing but vibes. But I think that all
the
of this stuff
kind of feels like it's going to check out, though.
And I also think that the idea that all of the people who lost everything are somehow wealthy, and the idea that everyone who is an actor is wealthy or everyone who's famous is wealthy is absolute bullshit. It is like, yes, some people in the Palisades had a lot of money and valuable properties, but like, I don't think people understand how a working actor gets paid and how much they get paid. And like, fame is not a currency that actually can be used to buy things, really. Actors who are working make like dentist money. Like, it's a good living, but like, it's not like you're wealthy forever and your grandkids aren't going to have to work, you know? Anyway,
just
sorry,
because
Michaela.
You see somebody in a TJ Maxx commercial doesn't mean they're living in a castle. Mm-hmm. And look, you know, I I have a lot to say about all these things. First of all, can I just say one thing about the police, just to play maybe police's devil's advocate? But the thing about these perimeters is they're also have cadaver sniffing dogs in there. I mean, it's mm-hmm. like you don't want people going in there and like moving
things. Cadavers.
It's still an investigation site, you know?
Yeah.
The second thing is some people may have had a safe in their house, and you don't – like, if you've lost everything and your safe survives, like, you don't want somebody to take that, you know. Thirdly, I think that, yeah, these sites right now are just so toxic that I just don't think anybody should be walking around in them. I mean, it's like asbestos, you know.
Right.
It is really bad. Like the
But I just want to say, I hope that the police are planning on devoting as many resources to keeping people from stealing necklaces and going through rubble as they are to combating price gouging and mm-hmm. predatory behavior. Like 100%. Which we know they're not. They're in an ideal world, they would be devoting way more time and effort to busting landlords who are now trying to gouge people who are desperate and need a place to live. I was going on Zillow the other day because somebody on Instagram was doing this, and I was like, aha, I love being a Karen for the force of good. I went on Zillow to see if there were any listings for apartments in my neighborhood that seemed like really crazy, and I found a bungalow, like a three-bedroom bungalow that had just been listed for $8,100 a month.
Whoa. Are you kidding me?
Yes. Like, in my neighborhood, a house like that, I would say a reasonable expectation of a nice house, mm-hmm. single family house with three bedrooms, I would say $5,000 to $5,500 a month, which mm-hmm. isn't cheap, but it's like pretty average for like the east side of LA.
And that's what people need to understand. I've got a, I live in a one bedroom, one bath place when I'm in LA. And I've got a family of four moving in here on tomorrow. And it's, you know, two parents, two kids, and they're going to be falling over each other. It was meant just to be a respite, like come here for a week until you can figure out something. When I heard her voice on the phone and she broke down in tears and said that she was, you know, not only did she lose her home, but she's sobbing because felt like she was too late to find anything to rent. And even though there's been all these things with Airbnb, like they're full, you know, and I was, my husband and I were like, yeah, you can just have it, you know, just take it. And, you know, I'm lucky because I have another place I'm going to go. And when I have to come to LA, it's easier for me to go sleep on a friend's couch than to go displace an entire, you know, like four people out of this place that I stay. So that's what's happening. And then when I hear about this price gouging, I just, I 100%, Erin, they have to go after all these people. It is illegal. It is illegal, and they're going to get a letter. But it needs to be more than a letter. It needs, I mean, there needs to be like shame. They need to walk down the street and we throw, you know, old pieces of roof at them.
You can write messages to them over Zillow. Because, like, if you want to report them through, like, the county of L.A., which you don't have to live in L.A. County to do. Mm-hmm. If listeners, you can do this from anywhere. You can do this from your desk job that you hate. You can do this from another country. You can do this from anywhere. But
what a way to help, because people are like, how can I help?
Literally go be a snitch. Go on Zillow and snitch on landlords that have raised the rent more than 10% since the 7th of January. Because it's like it's a disaster zone and it's illegal. And you can also report to the state of California. I know our attorney general is he's a friend of consumers. He tries to be, and I think that making a splash for him and getting some of these landlords in check would be considered a real win at a time when we all kind of feel like helpless watching what has happened. I also want to flag something else that I have seen that is wrong about the mis and disinformation, although I am seeing the truth kind of percolate up through. The notion that, you know, Pacific Palisades in recent years has become a very expensive place to move to. But there are people who have lived there for a long time that aren't necessarily mega wealthy people. But it's an expensive place to buy a house in 2022 or whatever. But there were a variety of different types of people in Palisades. Altadena is something that people do not understand. Altadena is a historic middle-class African-American community that in recent years has become more gentrified because it's so beautiful. It's right next to Pasadena. It had a really cute downtown. But there were generations of Black families that lived in Altadena because for a long time, Pasadena was racist as fuck and wouldn't let Black people buy houses. And it was hard for Black people to buy houses in other parts of LA. And so Altadena was a way for Black people to live close to LA, to like live a suburban life and not be harassed or redlined out of owning property. And so there was like generational wealth in Black families that started maybe as like middle class and now had homes that were worth a lot of money because over the generations it had appreciated in value and they'd been kept up. It is a massive historic loss. And I also want to point out that Octavia Butler, the author, mm-hmm. who everyone should have read, everyone should be reading, is from Pasadena, the adjoining city to Altadena. So a lot of her experience was informed by living basically like in that neck of the woods. Have you guys ever read Parable of the Sower?
No.
You should read it, but it might cause, it's crazy. So here's the plot of Parable of the Sower, just the setup. It starts in the year 2024, which in 1993 was a ways away. In 2024, the U.S. has basically collapsed because of climate change and wealth inequality and corporate greed. So this is, you know, speculative fiction from 1993.
Sure.
There is a Black teenager named Lauren who lives in a town about a little ways from L.A., sort of maybe Altadena-esque. But it's like a gated community where people just kind of like patrol the community and keep outsiders out. And they get displaced when there's like an invasion of their community and it gets burned down. That's the setup.
My God.
Yeah. And so they flee up the five. But anyway, it is like...
That's chilling. And I'm so happy that you're elucidating like this neighborhood because it is really just, I mean, when I was saying that LA is basically a small town on steroids, it's whatever your town is, but more, you know, and even mostly like that there was a working middle class neighborhood there that was just, you know, that's such a historic part of this city. And it's just one of the many stories of many of one of the many neighborhoods in this town. And, you know, I'm just going to say, okay, because, you know, I like to pull the camera back a little bit and go, okay, people are saying the Palisades is full of celebrities. Why should I boohoo cry for celebrities? The people who are really impacted by these fires, yes, there are celebrities who have worked their whole lives and garnered an Emmy. And right now we're breathing it, right? We're ingesting that Emmy. And they, sure, they're not the ones who are going to be loud and in your face crying because they probably even understand, I could have it a lot worse. They understand that. But here's the thing. It's still their home. Mm-hmm. Your home is your home is your home. And so whether it's your hockey trophy from high school or whether it's your Emmy, this is your hard work. This is your memories. This is all your everything that you feel sentimental or nostalgic about. This is your home. You can stay in a hotel. It could be the nicest hotel you ever stay in. It doesn't matter. It's not home. And so if you're sitting there on your internet being like, you know, discarding people just because they are rich or discarding people because they're liberal or discarding people because they live in California, you are discarding people who have just lost something that you would be so distraught if you did, which is mm-hmm. your home. And maybe you have the means to go buy another one. Maybe you don't. But your home is gone. It's just gone. And if you don't have a place in yourself to have total compassion for that, then the problem is not celebrities. The problem right. is you.
Yeah.
And the big thing I would say is that I get the impetus to want to cast it off because it's a very protective and safe way to feel like, you know, when somebody goes, oh, they have lung cancer, it's like, well, did they smoke? You know, give me some piece right. of something of why it's okay, because we're all susceptible, we're all vulnerable to climate change and to catastrophes. And I'm sure maybe if I was watching on the news and a bunch of Cybertrucks were like, got, you know, a, like a meteor fell on like 100 Cybertrucks, would I cry? I don't know that I would, you know what I mean? But if somebody told the story of like somebody who, you know, really saved all their lives for it or whatever, you know, it's going to change. The Cybertrucks are not home. A home is a home. And mm-hmm. it just doesn't matter. And yeah. and by the way, what also doesn't matter is these posters. I have to say that my gauge, and correct me if I'm wrong, Aaron, but the vibe I'm getting here and is that we're hearing secondhand, maybe thirdhand, or maybe even looking firsthand at our president-elect, you know, who's saying things like, why can't they put out these fires? This is the leader of the free world is saying, why? What's wrong with these liberal politicians that they can't put out fires? Can you imagine if your leadership after 9/11 said, what's the matter with the city officials? Why can't they get the elevators working? It's like you are not helpful. You're either helpful or you're not helpful. And in this mm-hmm. case, if you're not helpful, nobody cares about you. Nobody
yes. like okay.
No, there's
Thank
not
you.
A bigger way to become less relevant than yes. to criticize what's happening right now.
Yes. That's exactly how I feel. It's sort of like all of these people that are like, well, this is what happens, it's God's whatever. You know what? Mm-hmm. I don't care. I don't care about you. I don't care what you're mm-hmm. saying. I don't care. Like, I think that out here, people here don't have time to be triggered. I know people really love triggering the libs and the imagining they're making somebody in California feel bad by saying, like, you deserve to have your house burned down or whatever. That's what you get. You know what? They are not. They do not have time to be triggered. They're too busy mourning the loss of their communities mm-hmm. or stepping up to help each other. You truly could not exist any less to the people who are actually caught up in this. They're not paying attention mm-hmm. to you. They're not paying attention to Donald Trump. They don't have the fucking bandwidth. I don't either. I saw what he said and I was like, you know, fuck you. Like, I don't care.
What a reaction to have to like the incoming president. It's just like, get out of the way, move, yeah. get out of the way. Like that yeah. is very strange.
Hysteria is brought to you by Armra Colostrum. You guys know I'm always on the lookout for ways to strengthen immunity and gut health. I'm always saying that. Improve my fitness and metabolism and enhance my skin and hair radiance. Well, I recently discovered an incredible product brand, Armra Colostrum. You've heard about Armra Colostrum by now. It's the best-kept secret of industry insiders for a while, but word is finally getting out, and for good reason. Armra Colostrum is everywhere these days. When I first heard about it, I thought it was almost too good to be true. Except I know all about colostrum. Colostrum is amazing.
Right?
Yes, exactly.
See, I knew.
I thought it was too good to be true. Thousands and thousands of people reporting that it was transforming their health. Tens of thousands of five-star reviews and life-changing stories. Well, I can confirm this stuff delivers. It is, colostrum is incredibly miraculous thing that exists.
Just a real goddess drug, a goddess substance.
It some of the benefits: strengthened immunity, fortified gut health, ignited mm-hmm. metabolism, vitalized hair growth. Everyone wants to grow hair like a champ these days. Mm-hmm. Enhanced skin radiance. Everyone practically glowing. I've not gone outside in days. But I am practically glowing. Fueled performance and recovery. It also it helps if you're like an athlete.
Yeah.
If you want to make it easier for you to get up and do your thing more than once a week because you're getting old and aches and pains are catching up with you, you're going to want to recover better. Colostrum mm-hmm. can help with that. We've worked out a special offer for my audience. Receive 15% off your first order. Go to tryamra.com/hysteria or enter hysteria to get 15% off your first order. That's tryamra.com/hysteria.
Hey, so listen, whether you're in the States, across the pond, or somewhere on the other side of the world, we love that you tune into Crooked for US News. But did you know we also have a UK news show? Yes, that's right. It's called Pod Save the UK.
Pod Save the UK is a no-bullshit, unabashedly progressive conversation about politics focused on the issues that matter most to the people of Britain. With all the changes in our government, including the fun revolving door of prime ministers we have here, there's always lots to talk about.
And there's lots of fabulous guests to talk to. Journalists, politicians, experts, comedians and activists.
Yeah, we've had great comedians on as well, like Rosie Jones, Stuart Lee, Aisling B. We've also had Tommy Vitor on, who may be our boss.
We still don't know.
We're not quite clear on who our boss is. I thought it might be Tommy Vitor. I thought it might be Jon Favreau. I don't know if it's John Lovett. It's hard to say. It's not clear to us who our bosses are.
Some of our listeners call us irreverent but not stupid.
I object to that. I'm deeply
stupid.
It doesn't
sound too bad. So look, come check us out. Come join us. Pod Save the UK every Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
So the thing that, you know, we're, I know we've talked about this a lot, but I'm glad this feels very cathartic to be able to sit down and talk about this. I think something that this really drives home, and this is something that Michaela has kind of talked about earlier, is just how close all of us are to complete catastrophe at all times, and how randomly it can just happen. So we had to leave our house because our electricity went out and we've got two like tiny kids. It just wasn't going to happen. It wasn't going to work. And plus we were not far from the fire. We were a couple miles from the evacuation zones, but we weren't like close enough that we really thought that anything was going to happen to our house. But we stayed away for a few days just because of air quality and stuff like that. And then I came back to clean up and ash had like come in through the windows, like through the cracks. Like there were piles of ash. There was ash all over my 3-year-old's toys in her toy room. And I went outside to just like check on, you know, plants and all that stuff. And I was looking at my like begonias and they were singed. Something hot had blown the 6 or 7 miles from the actual fire and hit my plants somehow. Like the winds that were blowing that day, even if there had been no fires, were terrifyingly strong. Like they were, my house was shaking. My neighbor's fence, which is built like a, it's like an industrial strength fence. It was like flapping against its posts. It was a ridiculous freak day of wind and weather. And there is so, it's so crazy to think about how a change in wind direction could have spared some of those homes, could have doomed other people, could have just completely burned up the mountain, the forest, and it's all so out of control, and it could happen to anybody.
And I think that that's an impermanence that is suddenly felt in this city. I think that there, you know, and I think it's blurring the lines of what it means to own, what it means to say this is mine. And I feel like that is the heart of what's coming out right now, is that people are starting to look at their shit in their house and go, this still has a price tag on it. Like, I'm going to go donate it. Yeah, I paid money for this, but like, I was going to give it as a gift, but that person has a home and this person doesn't. And I feel like it's going to reorient our house for the very simple reason, like you said, like we're all so vulnerable. This could be us. And it makes me go, like, I'm precious about my stuff. I don't really, I like my stuff tight. When people stay at my house, I'm like, oh, I hope they don't start, like, touching everything. But right now, like, all my clothes are in here, and it's like these four people are about to move in, and I'm like, I don't care. If it fits you, you know, you can take it unless I absolutely adore it. Let me know. But but like all this makeup that I was saving, why? Like it was, I just had it. Why did I have it in a drawer? I was never, I could live 12 lifetimes. I'm never going to use that eyeshadow. Yeah. And it's just like, it's brand new. It's all these things. But that's not, on that note, like if you're donating, if you're making donations, it has to be something that you yourself would want. And mm-hmm. so when I say, why am I holding on to it? I'll never use it. It's because I like it. I think I'll want it. I just have it. We have such a surplus of things in our homes. And if you go around your home, you're going to find the surplus of things you like, things you want. And those are things you can part with. And and if you are parting with something, don't give somebody something with pit stains. Like, don't make people at donation sites. My nephew, God bless him, he is like, I'm going to shout out to Trevor. Like, he had a baby 8 months ago, and every day he's been at Santa Anita because he's a PA. And now he's a producer's assistant. And he knows how to, like, sort and arrange and categorize and get things moving and in action and organized. So he's been there every day. But it's like, you want to be part of a solution. Don't cause another problem. Don't, like, dump your trash somewhere and be like, well, they'll deal with it. Mm-hmm. You are the person who's dealing. We are all the people who are dealing with it. Mm-hmm. My cousin, after 9/11, she lost 70% of her company in Cantor Fitzgerald. It went up in smoke. People, you know, and they started the relief fund. And she texted me and said, you know, we've got this amount of money. We want to attach with an organization. Do you have any ideas? And I was like, I got to be honest with you. That's not my thing. My jam is right now I'm part of just crowdsourcing people in neighborhoods. I can't do that. But she said, you know what? That is always the most effective in every single tragic situation that we jump into. It's always the community sourcing that has happened that is easily the most effective. Because we don't say, like, can you fill out this form and show me that you lost your house? Can you point it to it on a map?
Right.
Can you prove that you have three daughters who are menstruating and why you need these three boxes of tampons? It's like, just take it. And, you know, nobody is making you prove how decimated you are in order to get it, you know?
I think. And it also has kind of, I hope that what happens as a result of this is a permanent rethinking of how we own things and how we part with them. I think that it's way more efficient for us to just, when we're done using something that still is good, to just find somebody else who could use it and hand it to them. And then it is to be like, you know what, I'm going to give it to this organization that's going to sell it.
In terms of, like, community and how that works, one of the really fantastic things that I feel like is happening, and this gives me tons of hope, is that I now am on a text chain with every single person on my street here in East LA. So I didn't know all of my neighbors. Hi, this is Ginny at 1020. Hi, this is Terry at what, you know? And then we're just sharing information about the history of the neighborhood. When was the last fire? Oh, who used to live here? Here's some really interesting stuff to know about it. And it's just been what I always hoped LA would do during the pandemic, and it's finally doing it.
And that is, like, the good thing about this. Everything else fucking sucks about it. And
everything else.
The good thing is that it is showing that we can get through the unimaginable together, and we'll stand up for each other when we have the chance to. So, all right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Sani Petty.
Hysteria is brought to you by Babbel. Erin, are you planning any exciting trips this year?
No, but I've been on some unplanned exciting trips.
Yes, you have. Well, you know, I bet for that unplanned trip, you didn't need to learn a new language.
No, but you know what? Who knows? There could be some unplanned exciting trips in my future that would require me or, you know, where it would be beneficial for me to be able to speak another language.
Right. And you know what's the worst? Being an American in a foreign country and you can't speak any of the language and show any respect to your host country. And people just go, ugh, American, as you leave the restaurant. But you
know what? Happened to me in Chile.
I'm saying, Don't this year, speak like a whole new you with Babbel, the language learning app that gets you talking. Learning a new language is the pathway to discovering new cultures. So why not embark on learning something new? Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons, handcrafted by over 200 language experts, get you to begin speaking your new language in 3 weeks or whatever pace you choose. And because conversing is the key to really understanding each other in new languages, Babbel is designed using practical, real-world conversations. Spending months with private teachers is the old way of learning languages, and nothing screams tourist like holding a phone translation app up to your face all day. Oh God, I hadn't even thought about that.
That also screams, rob me, pickpocket me.
That too. It's the equivalent of the old map out in Times Square back in the day.
Babbel's tips and tools are inspired by the real-life stuff you actually need when communicating. With a focus on conversation, you'll be ready to talk wherever you go. And let me say this. Even if you are not perfect, unless you are in France, if you are trying and you are, like, managing some basic conversations, again—
people will be nice.
Unless you are in France.
Yes, not France.
People will be nice to you.
And the funny thing is, Erin, that, like— I was a French minor in college. I took French for like 15 years, but my pronunciation is horrific. Mm-hmm. And so Babbel speech recognition technology, I like play around with it, and it really has helped my pronunciation. So maybe if I go to France again, people won't be like, we speak English, so that I'll just stop trying to speak my French.
Oh, devastating. With over 16 million subscriptions sold, Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. This year, get talking with Babbel. Let's get more of you talking in a new language. Babbel is gifting our listeners 60% off subscriptions at babbel.com/hysteria. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/hysteria, spelled babbel.com/hysteria. babbel.com/hysteria. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Crooked's friends at Vote Save America Action and Crooked Ideas have set up a disaster relief fund to benefit those impacted by the horrific wildfires here in LA. It's super easy for you to make one donation that's split among incredible charities doing critical work for our neighbors and first responders, like the Latino Community Foundation, Los Angeles Regional Food Bank, Los Angeles Fire Department Foundation, United Way of Greater Los Angeles, and the California Community Foundation Wildfire Relief Fund. Thanks to you, we all have raised nearly $100,000 for those great groups so far. Learn more and make a tax-deductible donation at votesaveamerica.com/relief. California is racing to contain wildfires as weather conditions improve, but MAGA leaders are blaming diversity, equity, and inclusion for the crisis instead of focusing on real solutions. And this isn't new. Many companies are also rolling back DEI programs as the new Trump administration approaches. That's why this week on Assembly Required, Stacey Abrams and NYU Law Professor Kenji Yoshino tackle the myths, legal arguments, and share why DEI isn't the problem, it's the solution. Tune into this episode now on the Assembly Required feed. All right, let's get to Sandy Petty. I'm going to get to my sanity corner first. The Pratts, Heidi and Spencer,
Amen.
Have been... such a, I don't know how.
Explain this to me, because this is something that I just started to see on Instagram, and I need to understand what I'm looking at.
So Heidi and Spencer, at the height of the, like, the Hills fame or whatever, they bought a house in Palisades, like, years ago when you could buy a house for, like, $500,000 in Palisades, right? Mm-hmm. And they lived in Palisades, and they lost everything in the fire. Like, their kids are okay. I think their pets are okay, right,
pets
Alyssa?
Are okay.
Pets are okay. Like, all of the living things survived, but pretty much everything else went up in the fire. And Spencer Pratt has been such a beacon of strength and hope for his family. He's got like a really good sense of a dark, funny sense of humor about it. He has been posting all of these really funny TikToks. Yeah. He's been putting Heidi Montag's album. Remember when like every reality TV star had an album, like Paris Hilton had Stars Are Blind.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Paris Hilton, by the way, another LA fire hero. She's been at Pasadena Humane posting videos of her with some of the animals, and she's going to foster a dog. She's like out there. Like she doesn't have to do this stuff.
Yeah, the foster community stepped up for sure.
People are fostering animals right and left, and Paris Hilton is in the mix, helping out. That dog is about to have a great little sabbatical. And we have Heidi and Spencer like posting stuff about just like what they're really humanizing. Just like this is a family that had a lot and had a very nice life, but they lost their home. And this is what it is to be a human that has lost your home. And Spencer started posting videos and TikToks with Heidi Montag's album playing underneath it because apparently they get a bonus if there's a certain number of plays. And then that turned into him encouraging people to stream the album on Spotify so that it would help them recover if like she got a lot of streams. And so that became celebrities posting videos of themselves on TikTok streaming Heidi Montag's album. Like Brody Jenner, who had not posted a TikTok in 2 years, posted a video of himself like jamming out to Heidi Montag's album. And I just think it is like silly on one hand. All these people kind of occupy a silly space in our national imagination. But it's also so sweet that Spencer Pratt is like, you know, fighting for his family in the way that he can. And like Heidi Montag is like, they're still going on hikes with the kids. Like he's posting photographs of her. It's like, they're such a, if they're not a happy family, they're doing a great job of fooling me. Cause they seem like they are responding to this with like grace and strength and humor. And I think that is helping people understand just what any family's experience would be. You know, and it's so like it's become like a fun thing that they are like, all right, everybody, keep streaming. I myself was like volume all the way down, just playing Heidi Montag songs over and over again yesterday because like, why not? Doesn't hurt anything. I guess Leighton Meester also has an album.
Yes, I saw that too. Oh, you sent it to me.
Yes. And so people are streaming that one too. But there are people who lost their homes in the Palisades fire, people who lost their homes in Altadena, who have like music out there that you could just like stream and help them. So that's another thing you can do while you're snitching on Zillow landlords who are price gouging, is you could just turn the volume all the way down if you don't like the music, or turn it all the way up if you do, and listen to the album of somebody who lost their home during the fires. And you're like helping them in a tangible way without having to like, yeah. Michaela can't believe it.
No, it's just it's like you can. This is like the ride that we're on, right? Like you get so hopeful because you see people helping. But I just remembered that there's this composer that lives in the Palisades who's like done so many films, all his instruments, all of his works, all of his works, just like all of it that you know is gone. It's just gone.
That's so sad. And there are, on that note, some like musician-specific funds out there. I think Guitar Center is donating instruments to people. So like if you want to specifically help out different pockets of the art, music, entertainment community, and I'm not talking about like, you know, billionaire Saudi producers who lost their fifth mansion. I'm talking about people working who lost everything. You can help. Yeah. Okay, Alyssa, what is your Sandy Petty this week?
You guys, my Sani, I think so Aaron knows this, you know, ad nauseum, but I started HRT a month ago, hormone replacement therapy. It has not been easy. I've also had a horrible sinus infection, and there are certain medicines I can't take because they still make my heart race, like Advil cold and sinus or anything like that. And so I've just felt so terrible, and I'm like, what am I going to do? I need to find something that can relieve me. Because I also don't want to put anything in my body that could affect the estrogen because it's still not fully on board, right? And so I'm like really trying, but I've been so miserable. I can barely see people because I'm such a fucking misery to be around. And then my friend was like, don't you do acupuncture on your cats? And I was like, yeah, of course. She's like, have you ever tried it on yourself? I was like, no. And you guys, I started acupuncture last week. It is unbelievable.
But you're not actually doing it on yourself. Somebody's doing it
on you. No, no. I went to a professional, a wonderful woman in town.
Not recommended to do it
and
on yourself.
Yesterday, she's like, I think for your sinuses, we should maybe try cupping. I was like, cupping? She's like, cupping. And I go, you mean like Gwyneth Paltrow? And she was like, yes. And she's this very serious, like, practitioner of Chinese medicine. And she was like, yes, Alyssa, like Gwyneth Paltrow. Anyway, I have the marks all over my back, but it's the first time I've really been able to open this side of my face fully. And I couldn't believe it. I woke up and I was like, this can't be. Like, I can... I mean, like, if I were last, like, 2 days ago, if I pressed on my sinuses the way I am with you guys now, a snot would just be draining. And oh, it's not right now. And so I'm hoping.
I like that you went Gwyneth Paltrow and I went Michelle Pfeiffer in Dangerous Liaisons when she was, like, dying of, like, whatever people died of in
ennui.
17th, 18th century France. But, yeah.
Consumption.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. It's a weird thing. You guys know I always need something new to dig into. So this is my new personality, Chinese medicine. Get ready.
I love that for you. All roads converge at middle age to the same place.
It's no joke.
Michaela, sanity corner or I feel petty this week?
Let's do sanity.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So can I do sanity light and then sanity strong?
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Sanity light is, I just want to commend everybody in Los Angeles in these fires who's not, you know, we're full of performers, but it feels like everybody's keeping it to the stage and screen and not on their Instagram. You know, the help that's happening, I feel like, at least maybe in my algorithm, is all very informative. Like, nobody's like, here's me and my bestie straightening our hair. We're going to go, like, donate some shoes. It's like... Don't crowd the airways with that crap. You know, if you've lost everything, like, you need information. You need to know where you can get pro bono legal help, not like that, you know, that kind of crap. And I feel like everybody is on the up and up on that. And I think that's really wonderful. LA's keeping it classy, and that's surprising and rare. So that's petty light, okay? Sanity light. Sanity strong. That's what I'm trying to say. Is maybe you've already covered it on the show. Forgive me if you have, because right before the fires, this is my Valhalla, the Telepathy Tapes podcast. Have we discussed?
No.
Okay, guys, this is the greatest thing you're about to experience ever. It is a podcast of a documentarian who partnered with some neuroscientists and neuropsychologists who work with severely autistic children who can read. They're nonverbal, and everybody thought they were just completely shut down inside, that they were, like, sort of, you know, undeveloped and never going to be able to partake in modern societies. And they can, with 100% accuracy, read their mother's mind or some of their caregivers.
No shit.
What?
Yes. And the first episode will take you through, like, all the ways that this documentarian is trying to say, like, here's how it would be considered evidence in neuro testing. But nobody ever pays attention to this because it's so outside the box of what neuroscience is. So it's been ignored and ignored and ignored. And now that there's, like, more technologies for nonverbal autistic children to be able to interact, like, they have these keyboards, they learn how to use these iPads, that they can spell out letters. One little girl would go up and hit the letter and spell it out one at a time. And they had no idea because nobody even taught them to read or anything like that, or math or anything. And they are off the charts brilliant. And they're, like, merging consciousness with their parents to the degree that they just can give really elaborate numbers and say, focus on this. And then the child will pound it out. And then it got, you know, it gets into, like, I'm only in a few episodes in, but it's, like, it is so beyond wild that it's going crazy. You're going to like need to like sit down and take a breath. I sat in my car for an extra half hour one time just because I couldn't get out because I was I have to keep listening to this.
That's
like they don't know because are they reading their mother's mind or are they like merging consciousness in the sense that they talk with their friends, with each other, mm-hmm. without talking. They said, oh, what I'm doing with my mom and I'm seeing the pictures, I do with my friends all the time. My nonverbal friends all the time.
That's amazing. Wow. Well, I'm going to be listening to that on
me too.
Long commutes today. All right.
Yeah, you are.
That's all the time we have on this week's episode of Hysteria. Michaela Watkins, thank you so much for joining us from L.A. I mean, I'm in L.A. too, but we could probably like yell and maybe hear each other.
I know, right? now.
I think we're pretty close to each other. Alyssa Mastromonaco, thank you this week and every week for being my ride or die. And listeners, thanks so much for tuning in. If you want to get in touch, hysteria@crooked.com. We love hearing from you. There will be more Hysteria for you next week.
Don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on IG, Twitter, and TikTok. Subscribe to Hysteria on YouTube for access to video versions of your favorite segments and other exclusive content. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a nice review. Hysteria is a Crooked Media production. Caroline Reston is our senior producer. Our executive producer is me, Erin Ryan. And Alyssa Mastromonaco is our co-producer. Claire Fogarty is our associate producer. The show is engineered and edited by Jordan Cantor. We get audio support from Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis. Our video producers are Rachel Gajewski and Claudia Sheng. And thank you to Julia Beach, Ewa Okolade, Adia Hill, and David Tolles for production support every week.
Hey, so listen, whether you're in the States, across the pond, or somewhere on the other side of the world, we love that you tune into Crooked for US News. But did you know we also have a UK news show? Yes, that's right. It's called Pod Save the UK.
Pod Save the UK is a no bullshit, unabashedly progressive conversation about politics focused on the issues that matter most to the people of Britain. With all the changes in our government, including the fun revolving door of prime ministers we have here, there's always lots to talk about.
And there's lots of fabulous guests to talk to, journalists, politicians, experts, comedians, and activists.
Yeah, we've had great comedians on as well, like Rosie Jones, Stuart Lee, Aisling B. We've also had Tommy Vietor on, who may be our boss.
we still don't know.
We're not quite clear on who our boss is. I thought it might be Tommy Vietor. I thought it might be Jon Favreau. I don't know if it's John Lovett. It's hard to say. It's not clear to us who our bosses are.
Some of our listeners call us irreverent but not stupid.
I object to that. I'm deeply
stupid.
It doesn't
sound too bad. So look, come check us out. Come join us. Pod Save the UK every Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.